Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We call it Baltimore Positive, BaltimorePositive.com out on the interwebs. This is going to be a fun one here this week as we have stated that we are playing both Ohio baseball teams back to back at Camden Yards, which is, I don't think that's ever happened. If it has, it's sort of monumental in its own way. I remember back, we didn't play the Reds except in the World Series. And Sparky and Earl and all that, but that we've been playing the Cleveland Indians tribe now, Guardians, all of my lifetime since Sudden Sam McDowell. We once stole their football team in Cleveland. I have long memories of that because it has been 30 years as the Ravens are celebrating at their Liars Lunch and kicking all that off here this week. I am going to the land of Cleve to bring in, I don't want to say he's my favorite Clevelander because that would insult Michael Redguy and Munch Bischoff and some other people that have been here. Not Dave Zastittle, Kim Herring. I'm trying to think of other people I love from Cleveland, but Bernard McKinney was my one-time executive producer for all things Nasty Nationwide at Sporting News Radio and One-on-One Sports. He is now out in Cleveland. He has made a complete different kind of life after running radio stations in Portland, Oregon, and Chicago, Illinois, in his hometown in Cleveland, Ohio. He does things that put him on airplanes to go to Alaska and has a much more interesting life and fulfilling life with his wife and pet in parts unknown outside Cleveland, Ohio. We have been spotted together at Blossom going to 80s festivals. By the way, dude, I'm having Wang Chung on the show next week.
Get
Yes.
out. Get out, Wayne
Everybody
Chung.
have fun tonight. Everybody Wang Chung tonight.
They were very good. I was very surprised with Wayne Chung at the 80s Fest last year.
I was not because I know how good they are.
I've been buying used CDs off a Facebook group, Ness, and I've got Wayne Chung now on my list, along with Thompson Twins. I cannot find any Wayne Chung yet, though, but I got to find it in the used groups or it doesn't count.
I
Thrill of the
saw
hunt.
Wang Chung open for somebody significant. Maybe like some Richard Marx kind of thing back in the 80s. I got to look up who it was, but it was at Meriwether Post. I saw Wang Chung, and it had been 35 years, and I saw them with you at Blossom, which is just a dude, that should be a bucket list place to go. I was talking to my buddy John Allen, rocker John Allen, about Wolf Trap being this beautiful place to go, and Meriwether is fantastic. If you've never been to Meriwether, it is the Lambeau Field of concert facilities on the East Coast. I think Blossom's in that Fenway Park kind of range for me, or that Dodger Stadium range, where like those were two of the best nights I've had in any summer in recent years, seeing Sammy Hagar and hanging out with you. And our friendship goes beyond sports and how much you hated Art Modell and wanted to hate the Browns. And you're old and mellow, and you're doing the really heavy lifting of democracy right now, chasing around some of these lying scumbag. We should have some people chasing Andy Harris around here. Just about the. This isn't about politics. This is about lying. This is about civics. This is about disempowering people to vote. This is about imprisoning of Venezuelan citizens like myself, people that are kindred spirits and immigrants that come here and sending them off to prisons in South America and Central America. I don't know what I'm very inspired by your episode in what you did a couple of weeks ago. But more than that, the reason I'm calling is because the stupid Orioles are playing the stupid Guardians, and I don't have a stupid press pass, and we don't have anybody in our stupid press seat on Tuesday night because Luke has a family event that involves Easter and his religion and his family. And I'm being banned from going to bed. And I almost wrote an April Fool's thing about like I'm quitting sports. I'm not quitting on them because I'm writing a letter to Katie Griggs this week. They need to be held even more accountable when they're getting $600 million of civic money in my state for the second go round of these stadiums for these billionaires and the people who are representing your state in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, I had an interesting run-in a couple weeks ago, Nestor, with esteemed United States Senator Bernie Moreno from Ohio. You're right. I still follow football, but I have pretty much moved on from the sports passion. I am utterly disgusted right now that we've got Capitol Hill full of lying bigots, quite frankly, who are just doing the work of the convicted felon in the Oval Office, and I'm tired of it. I'm a straight white man, and I've got to speak up because if I don't, We're going to have no democracy as early as 2026. I mean, they're going after women's rights to vote. That happened last week. The House of Representatives passed a bill to essentially prohibit women from voting if their driver's license doesn't match their birth certificate, which I believe 69 million women in this country
Including my
would
wife, by the
fall under
way.
that.
Thank you. Because she took my name. We got married. She
My
lost her
wife
middle
as
name.
well.
Yes.
And let's not call it anything other than they're trying to take away voting rights. That's exactly what they're trying to do. They're trying, and it's not the entire Republican Party, but it's this core group of Christian nationalists and Trumpers who have taken over the Republican Party. So everybody needs to wake up. But I did come across my
Including
esteemed
people that are
senator.
Republicans need to wake up. Yes.
Yes. Well,
So, Nestor, I know you can relate to this. The censorship of our media is real in America. You've certainly been dealing with this for many years in Baltimore. But what the current White House administration is doing is they're prohibiting free speech and freedom of the media. The Associated Press has been banned from coverage of the Oval Office for nearly 2 months now. And I have an exception to that. I'm sorry, that's wrong. And I don't want to hear any BS line that it's, well, they're only restricted from certain specific areas. No, they're being restricted. The Associated Press is the torchbearer of journalism in our country, in our world. And I went and asked Mr. Moreno, who's a United States Senator, why he has not spoken out about the violation of the First Amendment to the United States Constitution, which he swore an oath to uphold. And he went on a just imbecilic rant to me about Nancy Pelosi somehow being blamed and that he talks to the media all the time. And as I asked him about the convicted felon in the Oval Office, which is factually true, I didn't commit those crimes. It's not my fault. The crowd of campaign donors I found myself in didn't really enjoy that truth very much. So I was heckled and I got an, a rambling, idiotic response. And, my representatives are ignoring me. And quite frankly, anybody on Capitol Hill not speaking up against these crimes, they're part of this problem, and
Well,
I'm
from
watching
Josh
our
Hawley
democracy
down,
fall.
I mean, I don't have to go so far as to talk about what happened on January 6th and it being a crime and whether it's a crime and who was at the heart of the crime and who ran buses down there and a Supreme Court justice's wife was involved in that in my state and running. So, I mean, there have been so many crimes, and when you let the prisoners out of prison who committed the crimes and then imprison people who look a little bit like me, or they might be from the South American continent in some way. I'm very distraught about this. I've talked to Brian Froschen in recent weeks. I continue to have political people on in different spaces. Johnny O, I've been chasing him, and Kwesi Mfume, I'm going to be in Catonsville this week as well. We had session here in Annapolis. I talked to the governor 2 weeks ago, saw him on opening day in Westmore. So I'm as active as I've been, but what we've seen here over the first 10 weeks of this administration for people like you and others to take to the streets to say this is not changing a few rules or working some laws in someone's favor. This is a playbook of undoing a democracy and beginning really with supporting Putin, which should be the end. There's a lot of things that should have been the end back on the campaign trail of 2016. But the fact that this man still has control of the nuclear codes is it's been an astonishing turn of events in my life to go to Canada and hear what Canadian people are saying. And I worry as Americans of our place in the world, and more than that, trust. Because, and I'm writing a letter to Katie Griggs with the Orioles. Once you start messing with trust, that's when you have a different level of, you're banning my wife from voting. What are you doing? What country are we in?
And why are we starting a trade war with Canada? This illogical explanation that apparently Canada is to blame for all the fentanyl deaths in our country is a bunch of BS. And so we're going to start a tariff war against Canada. I mean, that's like calling the cops on your neighbors of 20 years who you have over for dinner all the time. But rather than just asking them to turn down the music, you call the police on them. What do you do then? That's ridiculous. Nobody would do that. So we're alienating our closest friend and ally in Canada. For what end? Look, Canada's not making the fentanyl. Canada is not killing millions of Americans. Yes, We have a drug problem in this country. We've had a drug problem for generations. That's nothing new. But starting a trade war with Canada is not a solution. And Nestor, where is all this money going to go? All this money that we now are paying in a tax, that which is what tariffs are, where is that money going to go? Because I know we've already spent $30 million this year for a convicted felon to go golfing, but we're also cutting $500 million in funding for food banks around the country. Now, you want to tell me that's American to cut $500 million, literally taking food out of starving people's mouths, but we're spending $30 million already this year for a convicted felon to go golfing. That does not make any sense to me, and nobody can stand and make a case for that.
I want to say something out loud because I haven't had a chance to talk about this. Bernard McKinney's here. We're usually talking about the Browns and football. He was my executive producer at Sporting News Radio 25 years ago. He hails and lives in Cleveland, Ohio. Reason I reached to him is because the Orioles are playing the Guardians, and I'll have some other Ohio-related guests on this week. Just because I have traveled, I have made friends all over the world, people that I've kept in my life that have moved to Portland, Oregon, like yourself, and moving about and still staying in touch. And not just based on politics or sports. I don't know that we had that much in common with the sports side of things, but you get a little older and you figure out what's really important. And you mentioned the AP and the Associated Press. And if Dave Ginsberg was here, he would tell you I have my problems with him back on the Free the Birds Day. And I've since had him on. He's out eating a steak at the Palm somewhere right now. So I've known people in the Associated Press. I took Stringer money doing Maryland basketball games, doing minor league hockey games in the 80s and 90s from the Associated Press and UPI, United Press International, back in the day. Reuters was another news service. I come from that background and of news gathering. And I find that there's so few of us left. And especially like when I get into the baseball world and Trumplandia of this, and I'm writing a letter to Katie Griggs about that this week, that these people think that like Masson and the Oriole Network is like not owned by the Orioles, or that they're not like employees, or that the Ravens can sit Garrett Downing with the owner of the football team and the coach of the football team and make it look like it's an interview when it's an intimidated low-level employee speaking to the man who runs a billion-dollar company, a multi-billion-dollar company, and a head coach who's got $200 million in the bank and runs the building. That's not the same as a press conference. That's not the same as Art Modell visiting the barn back in 1996, 97, and 98, and coming out and sitting in front of fans and answering questions and being a community leader, a civic advocate, like a figurehead, more than a figurehead, like a real person in all of this. And now the Browns want a new stadium in your community, right? So this is where the football thing happens. But I want to go back to just one thing on this Associated Press thing, because I don't want to meander, because I do want to tell this story. It's going to be the only time I tell this story, probably on the air. So those of you who stumble upon it on the radio or know Bernard and I was viciously sued. My company and two former employees of mine were sued by a woman who did not have a case, who was brought in to work for Masson and work for whatever Odyssey was called the time before this. Was between Infinity and Odyssey. I don't know what they were, but whatever they were at 105.7, she was on the air there. Made my mother cry because their partner, WJZ, led the news on a station that I was banned from ever being involved in, other than when I was being sued. And I was sued, and it was a ridiculous lawsuit. It was claimed by a lawyer and a law firm that has since been disbarred and thrown out of Towson, and a guy that had a radio station years ago. So it's a tawdry little tale. And this person who was a reporter for Sports Reporter from Boston came in, was very mouthy in lots and lots and lots of ways, said lots of things that weren't true. Entangled a lawyer, entangled me. I had to go get a lawyer. I had insurance, broadcast insurance, that allowed me to get really good representation. Okay. So when, and Steve Miles, who everybody in Baltimore knows, Stephen L. Miles, let's talk about it. Steve's a longtime lawyer and a long time, like a friend of mine, like I talked to him 3 weeks ago. We got together for an hour and shot the breeze because Steve's one of my favorite people, one of the smartest people I know. And Steve was representing me in the early going, and then my insurance found me a lawyer. And the reason I tell you this story is because it all makes sense now for your AP thing. Last week, the AP got a judgment with a lawyer to go back into the White House and ask questions. The lawyer who represented the Associated Press is a man named Charles Tobin, Tobin. You can Google him. Charles Tobin represented me. And Charles Tobin and I spent too many hours together representing me in a completely ridiculous suit. That young lady has now gone on to lead the worldwide news last year. She got herself into the news cycle by being a complete jerk to a customer. She owns some restaurant in Boston. It led every news cycle in the world for a day and a half about what a terrible restaurateur she was and what a terrible person she was to this person out on social media who was coming to her restaurant. So her name came back to me last year, but then Chuck Tobin, who I've attended Springsteen concerts in Cleveland with and toured the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, because
There you
Chuck Tobin, I'm honored to call him my friend. Chuck Tobin's my friend. Chuck Tobin is the lead lawyer in the Associated Press case you talked about last week. So that's how the guy who's in fighting for free speech at the front of the front of Donald Trump and the Associated Press is a man who represented me.
And I'm glad you have good things to say about him, Nestor, because it is vital. The work that is being done right now to preserve the freedom of the media, because it's clear what this White House is trying to do. They're trying to have a state-controlled media machine, just like Putin has. Because if they can knock out the Associated Press and if they can get at the Supreme Court to say that's okay, then bye-bye every legitimate newspaper, bye-bye NBC, CBS, ABC. And what do you have also? Then controlling social media. You've got that little nitwit who runs Twitter. And then you've got Zuckerberg apparently in line. You got to see what is really happening, people. This is crucial. The
I
Associated
put a
Press
picture of
has got to
Adolf
be in
Hitler in front of a Volkswagen that was a real picture from
there.
1938 on the t at the same day that Nazi boy with his Teslas were down at the White House doing an infomercial in front of the White House for his literally Nazi salutes. And he's running Twitter. I was thrown off of Twitter the first week he bought it because the first word in my title was journalist. I was thrown off of Twitter the first week that Elon Musk bought Twitter. The
I
first
canceled
week.
my Twitter the second he bought
So,
it. I
like,
logged off.
Zuckerberg took down a picture of mine. All I did was share the picture. I literally didn't even have, like, it didn't have any mention of Donald Trump. It didn't have any mention of Elon Musk. It was taken down.
Yeah, not surprised. They want state-run media. They want to be able to control
They're
everything
taking
coming
Maya
out.
Angelou out of the Library of Congress. Like,
Jackie Robinson. Did you see that? Now they
how about Roberto
reinstated.
Clemente being
I
taken off
mean,
the wall?
to sit there and try and take away accomplishments from all these people who are non-white men doing great things in the history of our country is disgusting. And that's why, Nestor, I feel so compelled that I am somebody who has to speak out because I'm the straight white man, middle class. You know, it's ridiculous. When I saw them, tr when the Department of Defense removed Jackie Robinson's accomplishments from their website for at least 24 hours, trying to forget the fact that he integrated Major League Baseball, served our country, was a tremendous athlete in multiple sports, and deserves recognition for some amazing accomplishments.
Who are these
And
people that support this, and how can I run from them? And
well, I have found them.
how can anybody vote for this? I mean,
People do.
I am out loud on the air, off the air, on social media. If you run into me in Costas, if you run into me this week, wherever you are, these acts are indefensible, but everyone I know watches that television station that tells them all of this is like normal. And when there are people every day of my life on social media that I am the last vestige of anything that's going to speak truth to them.
It's
I
scary.
just can't, I can't get over how any of this could be acceptable to people that have witnessed the evolution of this country in the last 50 years as I have.
And my wife and I talk about this all the time, Nestor, and we've come to this conclusion. We can't change the minds of some of these people because, look, everybody's got family and friendly, family and friends who are stuck under this umbrella, and we're not going to be able to change their mind. What I'm trying to do is speak out loud and have the courage to do things like, and get in the face of my U.S. senator and ask re reasonable questions. I protested the other weekend as part of the resistance. I'm
Andy
trying to do
Harris, that
things.
you know, that represents. I've never been in a room with him. He doesn't town hall. He doesn't show up. I'm at Mako every summer, the last 6 summers in Ocean City. His table's uninhabited. There's no one. There's a couple of business cards at his table. Everyone else is there, and a part of it. And it's really, it's a disturbing thing. And I mean, what got me into talking about these issues with my wife's illness, we're 10 years out this week on Freddie Gray in Baltimore, which changed everything about our city. We've had mayors, get elected and try to get elected again. I needed to be in on that conversation. But obviously, the first time around, the leadership of our country from 16 to 20 really inspired me to want to run for mayor, to want to do something different with my life and fight with Peter Angelos, who's, and I'm not going to fight with Katie Griggs. I'm not fighting with these people, but they are getting $1.2 billion from our state. $1.2 billion to become
Yes.
larger billionaires. And I saw
Yep.
what the Ravens did with their money. They gutted the press box. They moved it up in the corner. They named it after a guy from Cleveland. It's the Kevin Byrne press
Kevin
box.
Burton.
I call it the little house. The little house on the roof. And then they turned the 50-yard line into this suite that it's the Platinum Club where they welcomed Katie Griggs with some bonbons and crab cakes, of course, and put her name in lights and like all that. Like, they're not serving people, and everything that Art came to Baltimore and we stole your team and all that, that's now all coming back to Cleveland because 30 years later, like, there is a civic movement in your town about whether
Yeah.
what has sports been of value to Cleveland. It's to some degree the LeBron thing's nice and all that, but like as I get older, I'm really questioning all this as I am locked out of the game Tuesday night in Baltimore with my name, my company's name on a seat that I've worked my whole life to have, a media company, to have the credibility, to have sponsors, to have an audience that's as vast as it is, to have my Caucasian employee have a seat. The Hispanic guy that runs the place that's been in business with the FCC for 30 years cannot have a seat because somebody's got their panties in a bunch about something that may or may not have been said about what was really done. And if they want to break out the real history of what happened, I'm happy to do any of that because I've documented it all. But like, this is how billionaires are behaving. And then I see what other billionaires can enact in media at Fox News. An Australian guy come over here 30 years ago, steal Mick Jagger's girlfriend and pollute our society. I'm very confused, Bernardo. But I mean,
Am
back to sports. You're in Cleveland, and they're trying to build a new stadium again, right? Like
We've
literally, right?
got a billionaire here doing the same thing or trying to do the same thing. So I'll give it a
Who had to
quick.
avoid prison a couple years ago, right?
Well, yeah, Jimmy Haslam should be in prison. If you've never heard of the Pilot J fraud scheme, go ahead. He owned a company that stole money from minority-owned trucking companies, and he claimed he didn't know anything about it, even though he was on record on audio recording while the whole scheme was being put together. But that same Jimmy Haslam right now says that the 26-year-old stadium is no longer good enough for him. The one that we built, taxpayers that I built and everybody else in Cleveland and Ohio, we paid for. When is you know what happened, Nestor? A little, our team left. Okay. We've already fought the league, by the way. The city of Cleveland holds still the only team or the only city that said, no, that's our team. You guys got the football players. Okay, you got Ray Lewis, you got Jonathan Ogden, those draft picks. We kept the team. And that matters to us in Cleveland. And I'm at the point, Nestor, where the NFL, get the hell out. You're not keeping my team. My team stays here. You can go somewhere else. Because Jimmy Haslam right now, wants to build a brand new domed stadium, and he wants up to $1.2 billion from me and all my other taxpaying friends in Ohio. Right now, the state legislature in Ohio, Republican-led, has a $600 million bond issue as part of their budget plan. It hasn't been approved yet, but they want to give
$600 million. That's the magic number. That's the number we have here too. Yeah.
So if they give $600 million to the Cleveland Browns, well, what about the Cincinnati Reds? What about the Cincinnati Bengals? All these other pro teams, Columbus Blue Jackets, they're all going to want $600 million. And then you're also going to have maybe colleges, because now college athletics are pro, because these kids are making money. You can't be giving $600 million of our tax dollars to a billionaire. Jimmy Haslam also wants to build this dome stadium, not in the city of Cleveland, but in the city of Brook Park, Ohio. And it's about 6 miles from downtown. Because of what happened in 1995, Ness, and I moved past it, you know I love you, but when Art Modell took his team from my city to your city, we passed the Modell Law here in Ohio, and that matters.
Let's talk about that. Please explain. I'm going to ask Munch if I grab him this week too, and Daryl Wright, just all of you Cleveland guys. There is a thing called the Modell Law that I don't know that I've ever talked about out loud here. I'm in Baltimore. I haven't really read up on it at Cleveland.com and Mary Kay Cabot or whatever. And Lord knows I don't read the other guy's stuff that kept the Modell out of the Hall of Fame. But I don't. Give it to me, sports rate. Give it to me, soup to nuts. Go long form on this.
So in 1995, Mayor Michael White, then mayor of Cleveland, was very vocal in leading our charge to keep our team, keep our colors, and that meant something to us.
I watched him, by the way, that last game in 95. I was at that game when they ripped the stadium apart against the Bengals.
Against the Bengals, yeah.
Yeah, I was at that game. I was at the corner that's still like the park. Is that like 3rd, 6th, 9th, whatever
Western
that is?
Western and Lakeside.
There's a park there. He stood up on a podium, and he yelled in other words, you ain't getting anything. They wound up keeping the name. They wound up keeping the colors. They didn't keep the franchise, but they got 2 out of 3, and Meatloaf would have said it.
Yeah.
I saw Meatloaf at the Cleveland Convocation Center. 2 out of 3 ain't bad, you know?
Yeah. And we're the only city, Nestor, who has done that. St. Louis lost the Rams.
I'm aware of that look at my Baltimore Colts stuff up here. So I'm aware of that.
Exactly. And you and I, we've been through the same thing. But what the Modell Law essentially states is that the owner of a professional franchise in the state of Ohio cannot take a team out of the city without meeting some certain criteria. And one of them is if they're claiming they can't make money, that they're losing money in the current market, there's a 6-month window of time in which a public group is allowed to offer up an opportunity to buy the franchise. And there's also language about public funding for stadiums, that if a franchise receives public funding for a stadium, that they can't relocate. So what is happening right now, what Jimmy Haslam wants to do in moving the Browns from downtown Cleveland to Brook Park, Ohio, violates state law. Now, he's lawyered up following Trump's kind of guidance. He's trying to get around this. Well,
he's trying to undo the Modell Law that was put in exactly for
to stop this. This exactly.
I was going
to
call him a crook. He's not really, but whatever.
For in my book, goons, he's a thief, but
goons
I can
like
say
this.
That.
I got a goon. That's a good word. That's a hockey. Yeah. It's hockey playoffs, goons.
And he bought this franchise knowing full well, first off, that we're psychotic football fans, okay? And we're not kidding around. And that this law was in place. He cannot pick up and move his team. And the
See,
stadium.
There weren't a lot of rules when he bought the team. This is just one of them. You can't leave the city if you buy the team.
Exactly. Pretty simple. And you know what? Getting a quarterback and winning a few games would be nice.
You know why you can't move the team? Because we've invested 100 years into having you here. And we've seen it go the other way. And because we've been effed, and this is what I'm saying to Katie Griggs this week, because I remember Abe Pollin taking the bullets, because I remember, hold on, I have a little history lesson for you. You ready, Bernie?
Yeah.
Here you go. Remember this? Remember this? Remember that?
The Mayflower moving trucks.
Yep. That song doesn't mean anything to you, but it means a lot to my audience.
But I
So,
respect your memories. It's the same memories I've got of
the
Ozzie
Cleveland
Newsome.
Browns, I my Cleveland Browns medallion is still in a bag because it's never been touched by human hands. Not
There you go.
even only Brian Sipe can touch this. That's the
That's
only
about
thing.
all I got Browns memorabilia paraphernalia right now
So,
is
you know, but
a
it is
pin.
funny, like when I hold this up, this is almost comical because it could have said LA, Oakland, you know, Las Vegas. These things are no longer civic entities. They're billion-dollar, multinational, multi, you know, international. We now have a partnership in the UK because the Ravens can make more purple money over there, and they'll play game. They'll start giving games away over there, but they can't do that because the PSL says the PSL. The blah, blah, blah. Oh, who the hell cares about the PSL? Nobody cares about that. Let's do it. Let's see. Get if they sue us, we'll just beat them up in court.
Yeah.
So I bought poor suckers licenses here. I pimped it. I spent millions of dollars buying, selling tickets, road trips, Goodwill. Media, somebody called me an ambassador, a Goodwill ambassador. Someone said that I helped build the enterprise of the Ravens here when they came here as damaged goods in your mind and in the mind of a lot of other people. But man, 30 years later, our state rolls over and just gives whomever owns the Orioles, whether his name was Angelos, and Wes Moore didn't even want to come on my show and talk about the Papa wave he did with John Angelos 2 years ago. And now it's Rubenstein. By the way, Rubenstein, Bernard. By the way, Bernard Bikini's here, and we're fixing the world today. He's my longtime executive producer. We started with politics. You had something else you wanted to say, because I'm letting you wind up, because I'm going to take this into baseball in a minute. Go ahead. Stay
Well,
on the football and the Modell rule thing.
here's the thing, Nestor. You and I have got a lot of passions, and I think most people who, listen to your show are similar-minded people. And when we get older, our priorities definitely adjust. But the Cleveland Browns matter to this community. Jim Brown was the greatest football player ever, and he did it here in Cleveland. That park you were mentioning, Nestor, on Western Lakeside, has a statue of Jesse Owens. Maybe the greatest American athlete we've ever seen. For those who maybe don't know who Jesse Owens is, find out. He went over to Hitler's backyard and he dominated the world and he stood up to Hitler. And that matters to the city of Cleveland. I'm a little passionate when it comes to the Cleveland Browns, but I'm at the point right now, I would tell Roger Goodell, go ahead, take your 53 players, your football pads, your goalposts, and get the hell out of my
Well,
town. I
we
don't
said
want you
that
back.
to Bob Irsay back in '83. You know, I mean, we did that as a community. We just stopped going to the games. By the way, with the last game was against the Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers.
Now, did they steal the Dolphins fight song or did the Dolphins steal the Oilers fight song?
I
I can't remember who stole, but one of them, they're the same fight song.
Chip
Miami has a
Namias. Chip
team.
Namias knew the answer to that. I need to get Chip on soon because he was a longtime
I
PR
forget
guy.
who stole who.
But Bernard, I just taking this to the baseball side of things, because the reason I reached you, the Guardians are playing. Bernard's out in Cleveland. We'll get back. We'll talk more politics. I mean, everybody knows where we stand on all these things. I've known Bernard for 30 years. I mean, Bernard did sports radio for a decade and a half and can come host this show and talk about the history of all the quarterbacks and all the crap with Deshaun Watson and like all of that's the draft next week and who's running the. By the way, Joe Flacco's back. I wore orange for Joe Flacco for you
And
today. Is that
Cleveland's
okay?
excited. Seriously, I'll tell you, I feel good enough about Joe Flacco. I mean, he's a little older. I love Joe. Actually, he's younger than me. It's scary. But Cleveland's actually very excited about Joe Flacco because compared to that, hunk of trash, Deshaun Watson, look, you give Joe Flacco a decent offensive line and a couple of receivers, he can win you 7, 8 games, no problem, maybe even better. So we're good with Joe Flacco for this year. And fingers crossed, Travis Hunter. That's what I want. But I'm sure the Browns will blow it. And they'll probably trade out of number two because that's what they do. So
Okay, so I want to go through the history of Cleveland sports real quick because you're a Cleveland sports aficionado and really an encyclopedia. If I can't get Drew Carey on, I get you. Cleveland Indians, now Guardians owners. Let's start in the 70s with the crazy guy from Las Vegas and go through Jacobs was one of the owners, became Jacobs Field, the Jake. He wanted his name on the stadium, obviously. So I just want to go through some names. Go ahead. Who were the owners?
Well, Bill Veeck was a one-time
Okay.
Cleveland Indians owner. So in the 70s, Ted Bonda, who ended up being a local attorney, owned the franchise for many years, and it was floundering in the 60s and 70s after they traded Rocky Colavito to Detroit. They couldn't draw fans. They were playing in Cleveland Stadium, which was not a good baseball park. I mean, even when the stadium opened, they still played at League Park
It
for
was just so
decades.
cavernous for the kids. It was a
It
huge
was.
place. Yeah.
It was not a good place for baseball at all. And it wasn't until Dick Jacobs bought the team and towards the late 80s that they finally started acquiring some decent players. Joe Carter, Corey Snyder, Tom Candiotti, Greg Swindell, Rich Yett. They finally at least started being representative of a decent team. And if you recall, the Sports Illustrated jinx, one of the famous jinx, was the, I believe, 1989 season when the then Cleveland Indians and Corey Snyder and Joe Carter were on the cover saying, "This is Cleveland's year." And, a little movie called Major League was made about how terrible the Cleveland Indians were for generations. They haven't won a World Series since 1948. They got swept 4-0 in the 54 series. The famous Willie Mays catch behind the back, that was against the Indians, So there's been plenty of bad things there. But
But the
obviously,
name I was looking for was Nick Meletti. I had to look him up.
oh,
Nick
Nick Meletti.
Meletti died last year. He was the guy that I was remembering as being a real, like, sort of mover and shaker with the Cavaliers.
He
And,
brought the Cavs downtown to the where the Hall of Fame induction ceremonies are sometimes held now, the Cleveland Auditorium downtown, where the first ever rock concert was held. That was the original home of the Cavaliers. Yeah, Meletti was the owner of the Cavs before Gordon Gund.
he had the CFL team in Las Vegas back when I first went on the radio. I think I may have had Nick Meletti on the air with me. It's because they were always trying to sell the CFL here before we got the NFL team for that, before we went and stole your team. So the reason I even ask about this, and look, we can go through the Browns ownership as well. We're aware of Ted or Lerner, Mr. Lerner, Al Lerner, and the plane, and all that stuff. And if someone bought the Indians tomorrow, and let's say they bought the Browns, because the Browns have been like the ownership isn't beloved with the Browns. If somebody
No.
bought the Browns and you're like, great, new owner, and let's say the first month of the next year they had their own bobblehead that they were giving away at a game, would you think that's you're laughing out loud? Mr. Rubenstein has his own bobblehead this Saturday night. He's
Wow.
owned the team for a
Wow.
year and a week. He did all the commercials last year with Cal Ripken. He has sat behind home plate at visiting it when they play the Mets on the road. He's behind home plate with this lovely lady next to him watching baseball. He admitted over at Bethophilo, where I saw him speak last November, the day before this country elected the felon, re-elected the felon. He said that he watched more baseball games last summer than he had in 40 years. So he's not really a baseball fan at all. Like he bought a toy.
Yep.
He is throwing hats out, and they're image making with him as a billionaire who's come back to save Baltimore using this $600 million that we're talking about, that everybody's fighting about in your state, that we've just given him based on, oh, doesn't matter who you are, you own the Orioles, you get the money. Let's go make the city better. Let's do an improvement empowerment zone. Let's build a casino. We already built one. Let's build a hotel. We already built a hotel. Let's build a sports museum. Yeah, last guy put that one out of business. Well, we have the warehouse, and it's so let's build up. Well, we can't do that because there's a tunnel underneath the Camden Yards that's been there for 200 years that moves trains that once caught on fire and the governor didn't even know it existed. So you can't build a skyscraper here, which is conveniently in my picture here as I do my thing. It's baffling to me that it's not bizarre that he has a bobblehead this Saturday night and I don't have a press credential, Bernard.
Those are new levels of ego. I mean, that's something that the convicted felon in the Oval Office would do. I'm surprised he's not giving out bobbleheads to MAGA
The
donors.
convicted felon in the Oval Office, one of the first thing he did was throw this guy out of the Kennedy Center.
Yeah.
Rubenstein was running the Kennedy Center. One of the first things Trump did, and I think the reason for this, and if I ever knew Rubenstein, I'd ask him, or he'd ever sit with me legitimately, The way he hosts his own show legitimately, he could sit on mine for an hour and talk about this stuff, including the Magna Carta and democracy and why he doesn't stand up to Trump, why he doesn't speak out loud as a billionaire the way you and I are doing today about democracy and what's going on in his oust at the Kennedy Center. But Biden knighted him like last year at the end. But Biden did a thing, made him an honorary, some great citizen thing. And that clearly means Trump needs to get rid of him, right? So one of Trump's first acts was to axe, and not ask a question, axe David Rubenstein from running the Kennedy Center. So I would think David Rubenstein would have a few things he could say about Mr. Trump if he wished to. He does not ever disparage Donald Trump that I know about, not even economically, not even on issues like pointing at maps and saying hurricanes are going to hit Alabama, or talking about injecting bleach during a play, things that happened the first time around that should have been deal changers, game breakers for any billionaire saying, dude, you can't run this country. No. I'm going to get my money involved the way Nazi boy did, who runs Tesla, and we're going to make sure you don't get elected. I didn't see David Rubenstein doing that, but he does have a bobblehead on Saturday. He does throw a nice hat.
Well, if I get that bobblehead, I'll make sure to send it your way, Ness. But I tell you, if Jimmy Haslam, the owner of the Browns, ever said he was giving away a Haslam bobblehead, that would not go over well at all.
It'd be like one of those Mike Pence bobbleheads on January 6th, kind of like one of those, probably.
Probably. I mean, these billionaires are it's out of control. And Nesser, like you and I
But
are.
here we've already given them the money,
Oh
right? So I'm out with you right now, and you're like, not only are you chasing down congressmen about democracy and your wife having the right to vote, but like the notion that in your state, the Browns, the Bengals, the Indians, or excuse me, the Guardians, the Cavaliers, the soccer team in Ohio, the Crew, right? The
the
hockey
Cincinnati
team in
Reds.
Ohio, the state institution in Ohio, which is bigger than any of these, right? As big as the Browns are, Ohio State is a bigger money machine than even the NFL team in Cleveland.
They are. But it's funny, you mentioned all those pro teams in Ohio, Ness. Every one of those teams have got a brand new stadium or arena within the last 25 or so years. And you've been to Dodger Stadium, you've been to Fenway Park, Wrigley Field. Those are older buildings, right, Nestor? And they're perfectly fine right now today. Lambeau Field opened in the 1950s. So this notion that these stadiums that are only 25, 26 years old, like here in Cleveland, need to be taken down and rebuilt, that's not happening. It's not my fault that your infrastructure is poor here and the access to the lakefront is terrible. We've been arguing about that for generations in Cleveland. So you know what? Pull out the Shoreway, look at what Seattle did, build an underground tunnel and build some pedestrian bridges and new parking garages. Do like Pittsburgh or you have in Baltimore with parking
Hey,
in between
here, why
those
don't you
stadiums.
do this? Make our city better, more than 8 times a year, and when Billy Joel comes and plays, right? Like, make our city better, Orioles. This was the challenge I gave to Angelos that he couldn't handle because he wasn't a civic leader. He wasn't a good man. He wasn't a community man. He didn't care about the city. He cared only about himself. Ask anyone. And that's the way it went for 30 years. And that's why the place is empty. That's why there were 10,000 empty seats during the playoff games. That's the reason someone like Katie Griggs and David Rubenstein should be treating someone like me like I'm a human being who like is a stakeholder in the community, because I am. I am.
Our football
I'll be
stadium
here
here.
when you're gone, Katie. I'll be here when all of you are gone.
We have an empty football stadium for over 300 days of the year here, and that's ridiculous. Plus, like here in the city of Cleveland, look, we're not Chicago, we're not Minneapolis. If you build a dome stadium here, we're not getting Taylor Swift concerts every year. It's not happening. Our airport is terrible. You've flown into Hopkins. It's an awful, awful airport, antiquated and terrible in every sense of the word. This is not a world-class city. I love my home of Cleveland, but I know who we are. So keep the stadium where it is so we can have our couple of snow games a year, which we like here, as you saw against Pittsburgh last year. We actually like being outside. We're psychotic. I admit, Cleveland, we're lunatics for football, but we don't want a dome. And we're not going to get world-class events. We're not going to get WrestleMania in the Final
How about
Four
you
to
just
come
get
to
a
Cleveland.
quarterback? You know what I mean? Like, what, you
That,
know what I
well,
mean? Like, the
and that's
team's
another
been
thing.
so bad. That's the thing about the Orioles. They've been so bad for so long, and now their pitching stinks, and we're playing the Guardians this week. And I could sit here. I did 3 hours this morning with Luke about pitching and bullpen, like all of that. At the end of the day, these things are supposed to mean something and stand for something. You know, in Cincinnati, they built a little city down by the baseball stadium. It fills up, and it's corporate. It's like a Cordish thing, but it's like it is a thing that brings people down. The Orioles have Pickles Pub here. The Harbor, they're, you know, help us fix the harbor. Build a bridge to my city and making it better and safer and more educated so that instead of taking Maya Angelou off the wall, you're showing people what they can be and what their potential can be here in this city. Instead of banning the Venezuelan Baseball Hall of Fame last name, Oriole Hall of Fame last name, 35 years on the street speaking truth and loving baseball, instead of saying you won't shake my hand, why don't you invite me in and maybe I'll be an advocate of the $600 million that you're going to get essentially to throw everybody out of the press box and put them in left field anyway, because that's what's going to wind up happening.
And that's your money, Nestor. You should have a say in where it goes. When we pay taxes, all these things in sports, we've got to understand, no matter who you are as a sports fan, when you hear these billionaires, trying to get this levy passed or this state bond, that's your money. And same thing with our federal government. That's why I'm so upset about what's happening right now. I mean, $500 million is being taken away from food banks all across the country. There's nobody that should be supporting that. Nobody at all. But that's happening, and nobody seems to be upset about it. So,
Based on giving tax cuts to the wealthiest people in the country
yeah, it's
and spiking the
I'm
stock market
dumbfounded.
last week and putting my wife's 401k 20% down.
I don't even want to look at my 401k. And did you see, Nestor, on Thursday, there was a 10-minute window of time at about 10:30 Eastern time on the Dow Jones, where the Dow went up, I believe it was 3,000 points in 10 minutes, and came right back down. Because there was a rumor on social media that he was going to take the tariffs away. That is volatility, Nestor. That is not good for our economy. You cannot have the stock market reacting that crazily
Well,
in a 10-minute window.
I'm not a Bush man, you know, even though I've met George Bush several times, actually. But his brother, when he ran against Trump back as the governor of Florida, which seemed bought off at the time, and then I saw the clown running around Naples last year that's currently running Florida, people lining up to get a picture with him, and I thought, oh, God, you mean raise your bar. But
Yeah.
J Jeb Bush said that that Donald Trump would be was a chaos candidate when he was talking about women on the thing bleeding out of their whatever, when all of the grab them by the hoo-ha that was going on with Billy Bush, the other Bush, Billy Bush, who had his career taken away for just freaking standing there and being like just being in the odious air of Donald Trump in the 2000s, and said that he'd be a chaos president. And
He was
he was
right.
a chaos president the first time. It's absolute chaos. And the fact that anybody that we ever signed up for this, and I'm not making any case for Biden or Kamala Harris or the weekend of Bernie show that that turned into, which was embarrassing, and the Democratic Party putting up unwinnable candidates based on all sorts of things that they had no data to be able to win an election. You know, the morning after that awful, embarrassing debate with Trump and Biden last year, I text the people I have connected to Gavin Newsom, and I can't believe they just didn't put, because he would have won.
Well,
You know, so if you're going to talk,
he's
I haven't
next.
said this even out loud. Like, you had to have a candidate that could win. You had to have a candidate
Yeah.
that could win. That they didn't win, and now we're all paying the price for what is really a bunch of fringe lunatics running the country, which is really what's going on. That's really where it's at.
My wife and I talk about this, and we said the Democrats have to have a straight white man as their next candidate. So Gavin Newsom's up. I mean, it's and we could talk about candidates. I want Gretchen Whitmer myself, the governor of Michigan. I don't know how much you know about Gretchen
There's
Whitmer.
so much misogyny that 69 million women could have their rights to vote being entangled last week, and we don't have 69 million women in the streets. And oh,
I know.
by the way, nobody votes in this country too. So going back to how many people in your state didn't vote at all, or in Pennsylvania, where I spent Saturday night in these swing states, you mentioned Michigan, the places where People don't vote where it matters a lot. I've met a lot of tenderfoots in Maryland that tends to be very, very blue until Larry Hogan runs it for a term or two, or until Bob Ehrlich gets me to pimp for him. Never again. And Bob Ehrlich and I had some face-to-face words about how I felt about the embarrassment I feel on behalf of me and my name and my family forever supporting him, and Kendall Ehrlich as well. I'm on the record personally with him, so I'm not talking out of school. I'm talking about what I said to him when I ran into him. I think of myself as a centrist. I really do. I think of myself
Same
as
here.
someone who is sensible about money and about taxes and about wasted money and about bloating and about military bloating and about media accountability and the way I've lived my life. You know what I mean? The way I've lived my life as an employer, as a job provider, as a purveyor of truth, as someone that's battled billionaires stealing money from the state and saying they're making my city better when they haven't. Or Baltimore Orioles have not made my city better. They haven't. They've had potentiality to make my city better, but they haven't. And now, I have to come here and be clean at 56 in case I die or they cart me off to some El Salvadoran jail and they have to figure out how to get me back. And I need Chuck Tobin. Like, I have to speak truth about where all of this is at this point because I wake up in April of 2025 and it's really absurd. And in a lot of ways, like that, your
Very.
state is fighting over these sports teams and giving them money. Here they just give them the money, and I can't get a press credential to cover the baseball team tonight. It's insane.
We all have got to wake up, Nestor. I think that the fact that last week, like you said, 69 million women right now may not have the right to vote next year, and that is real. That is true.
Or they're going to have to scramble and run through hoops in order to vote.
Which is going to discourage so many people because ultimately that's what they're trying to do. That this faction of the Republican Party, they're trying to put enough obstacles that are just going to
Dude,
make it
the
that much
lines in
harder.
Milwaukee 4 years ago were a disgrace. What
And
happened in Wisconsin?
here
And
in
you lived in
Cleveland,
Wisconsin for a little while, right? Or worked in Wisconsin, right?
I've worked
Okay.
extensively, and that's the thing too. Like last year, Nestor, I found a nonprofit group. I volunteered to drive people to the polling place last year, so that they couldn't be restricted. And in less affluent communities, this happens all around the country. It's real. They are putting so many measures in place to restrict people
This
from
person
voting.
gets in your car and says, "This is the only way I was going to vote was for you to drive me."
There are a lot of people like that. And there are communities, and Cleveland's got some rough areas that people are really hurting. And so instead of having the needed, let's say, 15 volunteers to run that polling location, the state will publish, provide two or four or whatever, or they'll only have one door open in the building because there's a fire code that says that door can't be open. They'll do the most ridiculously inane things to make it impossible for people to get into the polling location. I live in a pretty affluent area, actually, Dave Zastedel's hometown, and we never have that issue because, quite frankly, we're all a bunch of upper middle class white people. Let's call it what it is. I live in the most uncultured part of the world. And I'm fortunate, but I know what's happening in this country. And what happened last week for the House of Representatives to say, we're protecting integrity of voting by telling women they can't vote. I'm not buying it. And I'm not going to be quiet about it. And women should be furious. If you're a female right now in this country and you're not furious, even if you voted for Republicans last year, you need to understand they're trying to stop you from voting. This is real. Don't play ignorance because there's a chance next year you're going to show up to your polling
Well, trying
location
to lock
and you won't
lawyers
vote.
out of federal buildings that could stand in front of this speaks to the mendacity. Mendacity. I don't know what else to say. Bernardo, I wish we could talk some more football and baseball. I mean, anything on the Guardians? I mean, they kind of had an awakening last year. I mean, it is bad here with the baseball thing because they don't have pitching, right? Like, and it could be all the DL and the IL and the unavailable, the UL, unavailable list, right, of pitchers has really affected the prosperity of the franchise here in the early going to feel like this isn't going to get better pitching wise. And like, dude, you and I got 100 years of watching baseball together. If you can't pitch, you can't win.
I mean, the Guardians overachieved last year. Shocking, the loss of the Yankees. They've broken my hearts plenty of times. It's weirdness as I've gotten older. It's so much harder for me to follow baseball and not being in the thick of things anymore. I mean, I'll never forget the 95 Cleveland Indians roster from top to bottom. We'll never forget that, but it is a lot harder for me. I can't watch 162 ball games. I can't. But I follow some of the box scores here and there. But I like seeing Jose Ramirez. Stephen Kwan's a great left fielder. He's a throwback. He's not a guy who's going to hit 40 home runs. He's an exciting throwback style of player. But even the Guardians, they traded away Jimenez, their second baseman, Naylor, their first baseman in the offseason. Guys that you get 4 years with and you just get to know. And it's hard as a fan to keep having that happen. It's not like growing up where Cal Ripken, as you well know, was a Baltimore Oriole for two generations or Brooks Robinson before him. You don't have that anymore. I mean, we thankfully Jose Ramirez did sign a contract extension here, so he didn't leave, but
You're
Jim
speaking like an
Thome
old
left
man
out.
to me because I had Beena Ranson on last week talking about the NIL and all you
Oh.
Ohio Staters out there that
Oh
live and die
gosh.
with that. Like, you talk about getting to know guys for 4 years, and I got 4 years into Josh Naylor, and he's going to the Blue Jays or whatever. Dude, I don't know, man. Like, we had that with Santander here this week, right? And getting to know players and whatever. Gunnar Henderson, Mr. Rubenstein's got to sign him. They got to sign. And then Boris is like, dude, kid, you ain't signing nowhere. Go hit the ball. I'll get you to LA. I'll get you more money. I'll get you more money. And that's the whole NIL will be that. The state of college sports is also, it's just unappealing. You know what I mean? And it's less appealing than it used to be in so many ways. And that's disappointing to me because I do want to love it.
I
Draft week,
love
opening
the
day, all
game.
of that, you know?
The history is there for me, Nestor, but they're not college athletes anymore. They're pro athletes. They're getting paid now. So you saw it at the University of Tennessee. Nico, their starting quarterback, who's a really fun freshman to watch, has already left the team because they weren't paying him enough. He wanted upwards, I believe, $10 million in NIL money, and he's done nothing. He got to one college playoff game, got crushed by The Ohio State University. Thank you very much. But the NIL is just, look, it's good that these kids are now finally able to at least get money on their likeness, which is reasonable. But it's gone to a level now where you're having in college football, especially kids transferring every single year. They're basically free agents. It's not good for the game. We're in this state of purgatory. Changes need to happen, but it is hard because in college football, you were used to having to learn new freshmen every year. But you're going to have to learn a new quarterback and a new player. I mean, a completely new offense every single year now. I mean, even Alabama is losing quality star players to the portal. It's hard. I still love the game. Look, Ohio State bought a championship this year. I know they did. I enjoyed it, but let's call it what it is. It's no longer amateur athletics. This is professional sports.
Well, I'll
College
leave it at
football is
this
pro
here
sports.
as I show off all of my little belt buckles of teams that are gone. Steve Bisciotti once said, and this is in Purple Rain 1 and 2, I think, that he couldn't buy the University of Maryland. He loved Maryland, right? Like, he was on the floor, Gary Williams, Maryland, 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 all of that. Even though he went to Salisbury State, strange. I don't, you know, he loved Maryland, though. So loved college sports and the environment. And that's what made him want to own the football team, right? What made him want to own a sports franchise once he had that kind of money to go play and, you know, turn $450 million into $8 billion over the last 25 years and get to be, you know, like a, what did Locke and Fora call him? An oligarch. That really pissed him off, by the way. Apparently, so called him an oligarch. And so, in the day, he said, I bought the Ravens because I couldn't buy Maryland. Well, now you can.
Now you can.
Yeah, I mean, literally.
You can buy the quarterback. If you want to spend $20 million, go buy a quarterback and a running back every year. Yeah, you can do that. So
You know, I remember
it's
when
sad.
Ned Beatty sat at back to school and talked about the honorarium that Thornton Mellon was going to be handing down at the university there. We have Back to the Future scratch offs, not back to school. I'll be doing that on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. I am putting together something that if serendipity winds, and serendipity is spending time with people like Bernard Bikini, my longtime producer at Sporting News Radio 25 years ago and 101 Sports out of Cleveland, Ohio. I have a fun serendipity show that may be coming Thursday to the Beaumonts in Catonsville. The Maryland Crab Cake Tour is back out on the road. Next Wednesday, we will be at Cooper's North I also have a really cool guest in line there as well. A couple of cool guests. God, I hope I can get her out. And then on the 30th, we're going to be at Coco's Pub. And Jamie Costello's in. I've already heard from him. So that's going to be great to have Jamie out. We're going to talk about Little League Baseball and things that make Baltimore great as well. People like Bernard McKinney make Ohio and Cleveland great. What's the best thing about Cleveland, Bernard?
Affordability, that would be what I would say. You can actually afford to live here.
That's it? That's all you got for me?
Well, I mean, I could go on, as you know,
I
home
thought you were going
of
to
the Rock
sing
and Roll Hall
Cleveland
of Fame.
Rocks, and I thought you were going to go all Drew Carey on me, dude. You know, I didn't know what you were
I
going
could go pierogies if you want, home of Jesse Owens. We created Superman. John Heisman was born here. Look, I can go on about
to.
Cleveland. It's just
Arsenio Hall, right? Jay Leno?
Jay Leno, we had the first ever traffic light in the city of Cleveland. The first ever gas mask was made in the city of Cleveland. Again, I could go on all you want
Michael
about Cleveland.
Stanley?
From my alma mater of Rocky River High School, the great Michael Stanley, we had one of the first ever MTV VJs, Nina Blackwood, also from Rocky River High School.
Dude,
I
I
mean,
went to Dundalk. They put me in the Hall of Fame. So, like, believe me, we don't have anything nearly as good in my high school as what you're talking about. Like, just in a general sense, I didn't have anything. Rocky Run High School? I'm gonna have to Google this. Who
Rocky
else went
River
there?
High School.
Nina Blackwood and Michael Stanley?
And you remember Martin Savage, longtime CNN anchor? He's also a Rocky River High School grad. So there you go.
How about
And a
Martin
good
Mull?
Clevelander.
You had Martin Mull, the late great Martin Mull, right?
He was another Clevelander. Yeah.
I
So
took a
look,
picture with him
go
one
on about
day.
Cleveland all you want.
All right, well,
Terry Garr, Clevelander.
I vacationed last summer. Where?
You were in, well, Blossom, right?
I
You went
came
to.
to Cleveland. I invited you down to
Oh, that's.
Tremont with Munch. We had delicious breakfast at Lucky's. I had a shipwreck. I took a bunch of scones home to my wife. I mean, I love your city. You know, one of the issues with Chad Steele and the Orioles and Mark Fine, now I'll bring him into him because he's the one denying me press credential, is that I don't get to do fun things like come to your city. But I did do opening day in Toronto because I did think Mark Shapiro, who ran your team, would actually include me in the media call. I wouldn't think that he would be a part of it, but he was, wittingly or unwittingly, and denying me a press credential in Toronto. But Luke and I went all international, dude. We had Japanese breakfast. We had
Right.
Canadian dinner. We had buffalo wings. We had beef on Weck up in Buffalo. I mean, I love baseball trips. I love football trips. I miss coming to Cleveland, dude. Find me a reason to come in and I'm there. Is the Fix playing this week? I'm coming.
Actually, they are playing at Kent Stage next week, and I've got to get my ticket. I am going to see the Fix in Kent, Ohio next week. I'm very excited
They
about
wrote a
that.
song about me and my press career in Baltimore, driven out.
That's wonderful. Yep.
Because one thing leads to another. You know that, right?
Watch out for those red skies at night. They're coming to take us all.
Maybe David Rubenstein will be the person that saves me by zero. Bernard McKinney is far from a zero. He's a hero. He is out in Cleveland, Ohio, doing things off the grid, going to Alaska. Next time you come back in, we need to talk about Alaska. And now that I'm an old fart, dude, I got to, I got. You're the only one I'm going to tell this to, all right? Just between
Right.
you and me. Sunday's 4:20, okay? And I am wearing a Curio shirt, okay? On Sunday, my wife and I are very, very seriously considering seeing the Cheech and Chong last movie at 4:20 on 4:20 this week. So, like, when I went onto the website, it asked me how old I was. And there's a senior citizen break now at 60. I'm
Really?
56. Dude,
You're getting there.
I can almost get like the $18 ticket for like $12.
There
That's
you
how
go.
close I'm. That's how long you and I have been at this together. Is that I
Yeah.
almost realized I was a senior citizen by trying to buy a Cheech and Chong 4:20 movie ticket. Because I had to say, senior citizen, I might be one. It might be 55. I just
Look,
thought
you can get
maybe
an
they would.
R now, can't you? I think, isn't that 55?
I don't want to know about this, man. Is this
I think
why
you
I'm
can get an R
collecting
card.
old, Oakland Raider and Baltimore Colts belts and thinking about Christmas Eve 1977 and Ghost of the Post?
Oh, you want to feel worse? I was with my little niece and nephews this weekend, and I was talking about a couple of things. My nephew has never seen Tommy Boy, doesn't know who Chris Farley is. They didn't know who David Letterman was. So there, you want to feel old? That I've got a niece and two nephews who don't know who David Letterman is. So I'm with you. I'm really feeling old
Friend of
now.
mine was dating a girl and walking through the mall in the 90s. He did not marry this girl, and I love this girl, so I'm not looking to disparage her because she's a nice girl. Nice lady, nice person. I love her. But they were dating and they're walking through the mall, and my friend said there was a bookstore. He's like, I want the new Larry King book. And this is like Larry King's on television every night. This is after Ross Perot ran for president and all that. She said, who's Larry King? And at that moment, he decided like it probably wasn't a good idea to go forth with that relationship. I had a relationship with a girl. It was about Hugh Hefner, but it was a long story. Bernard McKinney's here. I bring comedy. You know, Louis Anderson told me I could get into comedy. I know at one point you wrote some comedy. Mickey Coachella's out doing comedy. I got to get into comedy because that would be my out. I can say it's all just comedy, right?
I'm actually going to see a great comedian this weekend. My wife and I, Fortune Feimster. She's coming to Cleveland. I don't know if you're familiar.
No.
Check out Fortune Feimster. I think you would really like her. She
All
is
right.
a tremendous comedian.
Here's
She's
the
about
thing
my
about
age.
my comedians. I like them to be funny. And my wife's always like, so-and-so's got a Netflix and the Matt Fife and the like, and I put it on and I'm like, it's hard to make me laugh. Like maybe I'm a make me laugh guy or whatever. I love to laugh,
Yeah.
but the issue's got to be funny for me to laugh,
Give
you know?
Fortune a chance because I'm similar. Like I watched Chris Rock's stand-up special he did after the slap. I didn't laugh one bit, and I was quite honestly pretty offended that Chris Rock was just going blue when I know he's a lot more talented than that.
That's the
Give
one he did in
for
Baltimore.
yeah, and it's not funny to me. Like
I need funny. Anybody got anything really funny that's
Fortune
going to make
Feimster.
me laugh? Send it over to me.
Try Fortune Feimster. I'll send you some links today. I
All
think
right.
you and Jen would love seeing some of her work.
All
She's
right.
fun.
I like to laugh. I don't like to cry, which is why I don't root for the Cleveland Browns, even though I'm wearing Cleveland Browns colors. Orioles, fix yourselves. Ravens, draft yourselves and do something with Justin Tucker. Dude, I did an hour with you and I didn't even bring up our kicker and sexual assault. I am a saint. I am Nestor. We are WNST. Give me back my press pass, Chad. I've been nice to you this hour. We are WNST, AM 1570. We are Baltimore Positive.